Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, it's my joy today to continue our series, Letter from Lockdown. I wonder, what are you looking forward to most after this lockdown is all over? I'm sure we're all looking forward to spending more time with our family and friends. But one thing I am looking forward to is going out to enjoy a nice meal in one of my favourite restaurants. I wonder today, what's your favourite restaurant? Maybe you could say that in the comments right now. Tell everybody what restaurant you're looking forward to going to when lockdown is over. What I enjoy about going out for a meal is not that you don't have to do the dishes at the end, I think we're all fed up of doing dishes, but that you get to spend time with other people, the people that you go and sit around a table like this with and enjoy the good food, but also you share stories, you ask questions, you tell jokes, and you learn more about the people that you're spending time with. I can't wait to be able to do that again, hopefully sometime soon. You know, every day we have the opportunity to meet with Jesus and get to know him better. Today I want to talk to you about joy in knowing Jesus. What a privilege it is for every believer that every day we can sit and enjoy his presence and learn from him and learn more about him. You know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter describes knowing Jesus as we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That means that the joy that the believer experiences is too great to put into words and so good you can't keep it within yourself. Believer, are you enjoying and living in this joy today? Do you know the joy? Are you joy-filled? I love what Gordon Fee says. He says these words, "Unmitigated, untrammeled joy is, or at least should be, the distinctive mark of the believer in Christ Jesus." God is the source of joy. Isaiah tells us that he gives us the oil of joy instead of mourning. He gives us garments of praise instead of despair. We are blessed to be people that can live and know the joy that God gives us. But the reality is for every believer is that your enemy knows that. And he doesn't want you to live in the fullness of that joy. And he'll do all he can to distract you, to discourage you, and to make you feel downhearted or downcast. But I want to encourage you today. You can know the joy in knowing Jesus. And that's what he came to do. In the New Testament, we also read about Paul, and we've been focusing on his letter to the church in Philippi, and he gives the believers many reasons why they can know joy, not based on their circumstances, but on their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you've got to remember that Paul was quite a guy earlier on in life. He was an outstanding Jewish person. He was a Pharisee, a persecutor or the Jews or the Christians. He was someone who was faultless in obeying the law. But Paul looks on his experience formerly in life of obeying all the laws and throws them all together and labels it as worthless and garbage compared to knowing Jesus. He explains this that his confidence now is not longer based on how good he is at keeping all the laws, but now in his faith in Jesus Christ. He stands right before God, not because of his ability, but because of what Jesus has done for him. Turn with me to chapter 3 of the letter to the church in Philippi in Philippians there. And we're going to read together some very well-known verses, but my prayer is that you have a fresh revelation of these verses right now. We're going to read from verse 7. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. I wonder if you were to have a dinner party and you could invite any three people in history or alive today, people who you don't know, I wonder who you would invite. Well, it's easy for me. I'd have Ally McCoist, my favourite football player of all time. I'd have Bruce Springsteen sitting around the table, serenading us with a song, and Billy Graham, my hero, telling us all about the people that he reached as he preached the gospel, and hopefully Ally and Bruce came to know Jesus as well. But I wonder today if you could have one more meal with someone who you did know. Maybe they've passed away, or maybe they've moved on and you've lost contact with them. What would you do to have one more meal with them? I know who I'd like to have around the table. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't want that meal to end. Do you have that sense of longing about meeting with Jesus? Every single day we have the opportunity to sit with him, not at a physical table, but we can sit in his presence every single day and we can talk to him. We can listen to what he says and we can obey his words. He speaks words of life, words of courage and words of comfort. Can I tell you about Jesus? Maybe you're tuning in for the first time or you're just getting used to Apex Online and finding out about Jesus. There's no one like him. He loves you unconditionally. He forgives us over and over again. He heals us and restores our brokenness. He leads us through life. There's no one like Jesus. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him in that way that you can't wait to meet with him again? You can't wait to be in his presence. Do you want to know him like this? In 1913, Charles Austin Miles wrote the hymn In the Garden that went on to be recorded by Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, amongst many others. And later on, his granddaughter spoke about how that hymn was written or where it was written. She said, "In a cold, dreary and leaky basement in Pittman, New Jersey, that didn't even have a window, let alone a garden to look at." Miles was describing not a physical garden, he was describing his personal experience of his relationship with Jesus Christ. He kind of reflects on it like Adam and God in the garden where they walk together. And in the chorus, he says these words, "He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known." He had a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus talks and walks with us. We have the privilege of sharing all our thoughts and concerns, and he listens to them. And we have the privilege to listen to what he says to us and obey that. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He listens, he talks, we get to walk with him. In the lowest valleys, at the lowest points, he's there. At the highest points and over every mountaintop, he walks with us. He never leaves us, he never forsakes us. What a privilege it is to have that personal relationship with Jesus, that he is with us every single step of the way. So how do you know Jesus in your life? Well, firstly, to know Jesus means that you experience his power in your life. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you experience the transforming resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about my friends Paul and Julie Innes. I met Paul over 15 years ago whilst serving at the Solid Rock Cafe in Fraserburgh, which was a drop-in centre for people in the town who were going through challenging situations. And on this day, Paul came into the cafe and he had been made unemployed very abruptly, and he was not best pleased. He came in looking for some support, and at this point in his life, he was a drug user. He wasn't in a great way, and he was a Celtic fan. And, you know, we had compassion on him for that, and we spent time with him, getting to know him better. And I remember going to church with him for the first time. And Paul was quite a character, he still is, and I sat next to him, and as the service went on, he began to heckle the preacher. He wasn't encouraging the preacher or shouting amens, he was bantering with him back and forth. Thankfully, that church, from day one, welcomed him with open arms, and Paul went on his journey, continuing his drug use, and it all came to a head on a Saturday afternoon when he overdosed in the middle of the town centre in Fraserburgh, right in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. By the grace of God, he received medical attention very quickly and was taken to hospital. And I remember that Saturday night, along with Pastor Ben Ritchie, going to visit him. And that was a defining moment in Paul's life. Soon after that, he became a Christian. And soon after that, he enrolled to join a Teen Challenge residential rehabilitation program and completed that program. But at the same time, Julie also had her story of being in addiction and joining the Women's Centre at Teen Challenge, and they both completed their journeys and became friends. And then they became more than friends. And almost 10 years ago, they became married. And now they have two beautiful children. They are committed to their local church. They are both working in prisons at the moment, bringing hope to prisoners. See, Paul and Julie both experienced the transforming power of God. Now, you're sitting at home right now and you're saying, Daniel, my story is not as dramatic as that. Well, can I remind you today what the Bible tells us? That when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it is quite dramatic. Because before that, you are spiritually dead. There is no life in you spiritually at all. You may be breathing, you're existing, but spiritually you're dead. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you experience a spiritual resurrection. You are spiritually dead and you become supernaturally alive in Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. Because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Our lives are transformed when we know the power of the resurrection. And secondly, we have the ability to live in victory. Now that you've experienced that spiritual resurrection, you have the power of God residing within you. He empowers you to live the life of an overcomer. The Bible says that you are more than a conqueror in all things because Jesus' power is within you. You can live a transformed life and live in the victory. Christian, believer, don't live defeated. Live in the victory, the freedom, and experience the joy that Jesus has for you. So we experience his power, but we also get to participate. To know Christ means that you get to participate in his sufferings. This means that when you begin that relationship with Jesus, you are dying to your old way of life, that sinful nature. You're dying to that, and you're beginning a new life in him. Paul describes it in Galatians that I've been crucified with Christ. As if I was on the cross there. I died when Christ died. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We no longer live our lives according to our own selfish desires, which will never truly satisfy us. Now we live our lives by faith in Jesus Christ. The best way to try and describe this to you today is if you've ever seen someone being baptized. And that's when we lower them into the water, which symbolizes that they are dying to their old life and they are being buried. Just like Jesus died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, we're burying our old lives. But we rise up out of the water like Jesus is resurrected, and we rise up declaring that we are in a new life. We identify with Jesus. We get to participate in his sufferings, but also we get to experience the privilege of being in relationship with him. It's an honor and privilege to preside over wedding ceremonies as a pastor. And I'm sure if you've been involved in a bridal party and been involved in a wedding in any measure, you'll know how the honor and the privilege that is. And now, almost 10 years ago, I had the privilege of standing next to Paul and Julie as they made their marriage vows to one another. I was Paul's best man, and what a privilege that was. I had the joy of sharing the best man speech at the meal. And I, at the end of that speech, was concluding, and I remember that in 2007, Paul gave me this New Testament Bible. And in the front of it, he put his name, and it was from him, Christmas 2007. But he also put a scripture in there, and it's the scripture in Proverbs 18, verse 24, which says, "There is a real friend who sticks closer than a brother." And as a friendship, we enjoy the banter and being with each other, the high points and the low points, but we were united because we have a real friend. And his name is Jesus. Think about this. If you're a believer today, you know the Master. You know the Savior. The King of Kings calls you by name. You are a friend of God. What a privilege. What an opportunity that we have every day to know the joy of knowing Jesus. To know Christ is the greatest privilege that we will ever have. And that is true joy. Now, I understand why Jesus died on the cross. I even understand why he died in my place. He did that because he loved me. But I am marveled at why Jesus would love me. Knowing all that I've done, knowing all my wrong thoughts and bad actions, why would the King of Heaven die on a cross, and why would he love me? You know, because of that mystery, I've got a longing within me that if someone is willing to do that for me, I've got to know him better. I've got to make the time every single day to understand him, to get a fresh revelation of his goodness and his mercy and his love for me. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know Jesus in a personal way? You've heard about him. You've maybe heard about him in school, Sunday schools, or things you've heard on TV, but do you know him personally? Because he wants to know you personally. You're maybe watching me at home right now, and actually your life is out of control, like Paul and Julie's was. And by, it seems, coincidence, you're watching me today. I want to tell you there's hope for you, that Jesus Christ can transform your life. You maybe feel hopeless, but I want to tell you there is hope in Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus, which will allow you to experience the power of his resurrection, the only true satisfaction, the only real joy that you will find. It's not in more stuff. It's not in your postcode. It's not in attaining a new job. It's not more. It's only found in Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a blunt question just now. Do you know Jesus personally? Well, I want to help you to connect with him right now by leading you in a very simple prayer of commitment, which recognizes your need for a Savior and makes a commitment today that you are going to begin that relationship with him and start a journey that will start now, but as Paul tells us here, looks forward to a future event when we will experience a physical resurrection. But until then, we have the joy of getting to know him better and better. So you're here today and you're watching me and you say, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. Just follow me in this simple prayer. Repeat it after me sincerely from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world. You died upon the cross. You took my place. You dealt with my sin. I ask you, please forgive me of all my sins. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer right now, you've just begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the moment of becoming a Christian. But being a Christian takes the rest of your life. And we want to help you to do that. And one of the ways that we'll do that is that we'll contact you if you let us know. If you say in the message just now or you send us a message on Facebook or an email, we'll follow that up and we'll connect with you because we want to help you. Because we recognize that you can't go through this life alone. You need to be in community that will help you to strengthen your faith. But we'll also give you a Bible called the New Testament Experience. And this will help you to understand who Jesus is, and it'll help you to get to know him better. If that's you today and you prayed that prayer, please do that right now. Don't delay, don't put it off. We can't wait to celebrate with you.